Now, this morning, I want to get through a lot of stuff real quick, okay? So if you turn to John chapter 15, that's where we're going to begin. And like I said in your notes there, life is truly defined without, cannot be truly defined, freedom without understanding what freedom is. If you have life, you need to have freedom. And when you start losing control of freedom, you start losing control of life. That's exactly what we see happening with some of our illnesses in our bodies. Take Jennifer here, okay, who's not over here this morning. She's losing freedom of control of her body. As she loses the freedom of control, what's she losing? She's losing some of her life in this world. Same thing we saw with Pat. Pat just told me last night she's got a 2-week goal to get away from that walker and onto a cane. She'll probably catch up and beat me the way she's going. She's got fortitude about her. Janet passed me many times, but she's struggling right now. So keep Janet in your prayers as well. So this morning, as we talk about freedom, freedom comes in lots of different forms. And we have to hold on to freedom, and there's a freedom to love, there's a freedom to serve, there's a freedom to have compassion, there's freedom from tyranny, there's freedom from slavery. There's all kinds of freedom out there that we need to hold on to. Now, as our nation pauses to remember and to honor law enforcement officers and police officers and firemen and military service people this week, we pray that those who we come in contact with serving, when you see someone with a uniform on, smile, tip your hat, say thank you. Guess what? They'll know what you're thanking them for. They really will. You don't have to go any deeper than that, okay? If you see someone sitting behind you at McDonald's, pay for their lunch. Okay, shock him to death. I want to catch his too, or hers too. We need to be able to serve those who serve us and to love those who love us. It was John Adams who said, "We are a nation of law. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of men." And those laws are what hold us together. And we've got to hold on to the symbols of what that's about. How true that statement is today, more probably than ever. It's our laws that are holding our country together. And if we start breaking the laws or fudging on the laws or separating ourselves from the laws that established us, we're losing our freedom. We've got to hold on to freedom. Ask the question again of the remnants of the same 2nd Range Battalion, now reinforced and assigned to the Hill 400 in Eastern Europe, late in November. The last army had already thrown 4 divisions at Hill 400 with crushing losses. The conditions were even worse at the Point, P-O-I-N-T-E, is what that section was called. Still, the Rangers went in, knowing the risk, outnumbered 10-1, their original strength of 3 full companies eventually reduced to just officers of 86 men. They took the hill in 2 days. But the cost of that freedom for that country was incalculable. Ask the 19-year-old teenagers the average age of the 1st United States Marine Division who landed on August 7, 1942, on both the north shore of Guadalcanal, a small top tropical island not far from Australia. Guadalcanal was the first time that American forces stopped the Japanese sweep in the South Pacific, turning the tide of war. But at what cost? Under fire during the landing, the naval forces pulled away, leaving the young Marines without air support. Without most of their heavy weapons, tanks, and all of the rest of their supplies. But those teenagers hung on in that rain-soaked, malaria-ridden land, fighting off the snakes, leeches, jungle rot, and a well-entrenched enemy. For the next 6 months, Guadalcanal became hell for both the young Marines and the defenders. But in 1943, the Japanese pulled out. Only 10,000 soldiers were left of their original 40,000. 30,000 dead. The first Marines required a full year retaliation before they could be called a fighting unit again, having lost many thousands dead and wounded. The cost of freedom is incalculable. Think of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Individually, each one of them had more to lose than the gain in the revolution. Most of them were already men of standing in their communities, highly educated and owners of substantial property. John Hancock, the richest man in America, became a wanted man with a price of $500,000 over his head. They did not choose to revolt. They merely wanted to be treated the same as other Englishmen were in England. And they all knew that the penalty for treason was death by hanging. Each signer became a marked man pursued relentlessly by the British retribution. None who were property or family were spared. They lost it all. Most lived to see their families killed or separated forever and their properties shacked. 9 signers died of wounds or hardships from the war. Many died in poverty, the fathers of our country. Their pledge, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor was no idle boast. The cost of our freedom was incalculable. Because there is a greater love down inside us, down inside the depths of who we are, that's why freedom exists and rises to the surface in every horrible predicament this planet finds itself. Throughout history, another principle seemed too often to prevail, the principle of selflessness that overcame selfishness on the individuals who give their lives, their honor, and their sacred honor. The cost of freedom is beyond words. So is the cost of exploitation, wherein men and women lose their freedom to think, to worship, to invent. Such are forced to travel under the dark cloud of totalitarianism, no matter what name it might go by. Did you know that Ohio, our state, has the largest human trafficking ring in the United States? Human trafficking, you know what that is, right? Grabbing people and turning them into slaves. Grabbing young girls and forcing them into prostitution. The ring goes from Columbus to Toledo. And it's the largest in the United States. Did you know that more Christians are being martyred in this decade than at any time in history on planet Earth? More Christians are being martyred today. Whole countries are being wiped out. I'll get to that in a few minutes. We struggle and argue with history of slavery and whether we agree or disagree or whatever, and have no time to even pray for those who are becoming victims of slavery today. Nobody's fighting the cause. We're just allowing slavery to take place in our own state. What can we do about it? Let me tell you the absolute minimum you can do, which has the absolute most power, like Armin said a minute ago. You can take 5 minutes to pray, can't you? To pray that we get control of this, that our young girls aren't turned into slavery again, or our young boys, and boys now are as big an item on the slavery market as girls are. How much might freedom have cost heaven? God has had to watch his creation make horrible mistakes and suffer appalling results on the innocent as well as on the guilty in order to secure the universe against the desire to question his wisdom and justice. Why do we question God instead of accepting wholeheartedly the freedom he offers so freely? What was at stake? Freedom of choice, nothing less. And God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him could have freedom from death. Like John Adams said, we are a nation of laws, not of men. How true that statement is, has to be alive today. We've got to get our minds off of our self-centeredness and start living what we believe. We still have young men signing up to go to war, oftentimes having no idea what to bring themselves in. But once they get there, they begin to see the cost, especially when they have to go into battle or to take it overseas away from their family, their friends, and everything they know, and have to face the reality of the decision they made, and oftentimes have to give their lives for freedom. Life is not divine truly without freedom. And that's why we remember and we honor and we thank God. Freedom to love, freedom to become everything that you were made to be, freedom to live, freedom from coercion, compulsion, freedom from tyranny so that laws can be protected. We're sending your guys off the world to fight for laws, and then we're giving up freedom left and right here in our own country. How and where do you find that kind of freedom on the planet? Nowhere. America is number one. We not only fight for our own freedom, but we fight for freedom for other countries. We're in there in the battle trying to do something about what's going on. Are we always right? No way. But our intentions, hopefully, are. Well, once again, turn to John. We're going to be in John chapter 15 for the next 3 minutes. Kind of time got away here, okay? But there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. That's the key verse. That's where we want to be. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. It has been witnessed by generation after generation in every society and on every continent on earth in human history. It's time to recognize them and to find inside our own hearts the courage and the love to decide whether or not, if called upon, I would be willing to do the same. Most of us, me included, probably can be put in the coward category when it comes to giving up our lives. But when you're put in that spot, if you see a young child out in the middle of the road and there's a car zooming by that doesn't see it and you see that, how many of you would be willing to jump out in front of that car to throw that kid out in front of that vehicle? I think probably in that situation you'd do it without even thinking about it. All of a sudden, at that moment, you'd say, that child's life's more important. I've got to do something about it. That's what's built down inside us. Life is precious, isn't it? So we got to stand up for life. I'm so proud of America for stand as just recently done on abortion. Standing up for life. It's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court and challenge Roe versus Wade. Not just this state, but several states. Will it make it through there? It's going to be a bitter battle. A bitter battle. Those who want to keep killing babies are almost as strong, but they are louder than the ones who don't want to. But finally we found our voice. Be a part of that voice. And how do you be a part of that voice? Get on your knees and pray for the lives of the unborn. We are worse than those who kill babies and sacrifice them to idols back in the century we see in the Old Testament. We're worse. We're killing more in one day than they killed in the whole time you're reading the Bible. Beautiful, innocent, precious children are being ripped apart. I can't talk about that anymore because I'll just get emotional. Save a life. Jump out there in front and save a life. Between John 14 and 16, that's where I've tried to be. John 14 was last week. John 16 is next Sunday, well, week before last. What was last week? Next week is John 16. This is John 15 in the middle. It kicks the two. John 14, 16, verse John 14, 16. And John verse 16, 14. Both have to do with the Holy Spirit and why Jesus started explaining to them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit before he died on the cross. This is right there in that, you know, introduction, John 14, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going to my Father to prepare a place for you. As soon as he told them that he was going to die in those verses, and then he answered a couple other questions. If you've seen God, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also, all in chapter 14. Then he says, I'm going, if I don't go to the Father, he's not going to send you the Holy Spirit. So it's very expedient that I go to the Father. And he says in chapter 16, and when the Spirit does come, he's going to take of me and reveal it to you. That's what those two verses are keyed into. John 14, 16, and John 16, 14. But the whole chapters are important. And what's sandwiched between chapter 14 and 16? Chapter 15. And what's in the middle of chapter 15? Verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. He's giving his life in order for the Holy Spirit to be sent to us so we can have freedom, that we can have life. Followers of Jesus are the branches, he begins in chapter 15, of the true vine, which is Jesus. So I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he will take away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may have more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what do branches do? What's a branch to a tree, a branch to an apple tree? What does it do? Just kind of hangs on to the tree, doesn't it? What does the fruit do? It hangs on to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So we're just fruit hanging on a tree. Now, you can die on that tree as a fruit, or you can become ripe and then drop. And what do you do when you drop? You become a seed to become another tree. It's all in the process. So what do branches do? They just hang on and abide. What are you supposed to be doing? Hanging on and abiding. That's your job. It's not a hard job. You're supposed to spend time praying. Spend time in your Bible. Spend time thinking about God things and not just self things. That's abiding. And when you do that, guess what happens? He does something with you. He uses you. Armin and Colleen were just abiding, hanging out there. And every time something came up, Armin would say, "That's not it. This isn't the one we're supposed to. We're doing it right now because that's what we hear in front of us, but this isn't it. I don't feel this is the one." Every time I'd say, "So what are you doing?" "We don't know yet. We're just going to do what we're doing until we find out what we're supposed to be doing." But somehow, Armin in his spirit was getting messages from Almighty, saying, "Don't go, don't do, or do until I tell you. Abide in me until it's time for the fruit to happen." Most of the great stuff in my life, guys, is only because I was out there praying and believing, and it just showed up. And I just found myself in the middle of situations, and I could really raise your hair to tell you some of the stuff that God did to me. But I don't like to talk about them too much because people sometimes say, "Are you bragging?" Well, yeah, I am bragging. But I'm bragging on my Lord, not on me. Because I had nothing to do with that stuff. I've been all over the world. I've sat at the table, actually, of the presidents of nations. And the head of great theology. How did I get there? God put me there. And why did he do it? Because I told him when I was 16 years old, "I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere, Lord. You just got to go with me. You just got to go with me. You just got to abide." And he really comes down hard, when doesn't he? He says that God gathers the branches and he puts them in piles. And those who are abiding, they're stronger, but those who don't, he puts in a pile and he burns them. So you either abide or burn. Okay? Not a fun statement, is it? It's just reality. Either abide or burn. So the disciples' relationship to each other in verses 12 through 17, and then verse 18 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love us its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now that they have no excuse for their sin, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which I know no one else would do, they would not have sinned. But now that they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well, but they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law, they hated me without cause. And in verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, it is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. I'm going to have to conclude with that. But that is a pretty good place to conclude, isn't it? 40 days of prayer and fasting, and God is moving a mountain. It's still got a long ways to move. A lot of states. And you know, the governors of every one of those states could have said, nope. One person had the power to say, nope. Pray for your governors. Pray for whoever's in presidency, okay? Pray that in spite of them, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the key to abiding is simply to love, okay? And that's where we're going to begin next week. The key to abiding so that you can be used by God is to love. Got that? The key to abiding is love, Jesus and not others. And also others, I mean, which is keeping his commandments. Let's stand. I don't know why today, but I keep sliding off of this chair. Might be these pants, I guess. But thank you for your patience this morning. You go back and tell Janet we love her and we really miss her. Pardon? Okay, she's probably watching us right now. So, everybody say hello to Janet, okay? We love you, okay? We love everybody that struggles, everybody that's home right now, everybody that can't be with us. It's more important to be together, isn't it? We feel the fellowship when we're here, and we really miss you when you're not here. And that's what it's all about. And that's what communion is. Communion is connection. It's family. And I do feel like I'm family to all of you. Most of the time when I'm with you, you tell me personal stuff you don't tell anybody else. That's only family, right? And I hurt with you. And I know you hurt with each other. All the time. That's abiding. Just be faithful in the moment, the one you're in right now. And God will supply. As we take communion this morning, I want to pray that God not only bless the elements, but that he bless you and all those who have prepared for freedom, and you keep freedom in your household, in your family, even with your pets. Love them to death, right? She's your baby. Let's pray. Father, bless these elements. Bless the bread and the cup. To the remembrance of what it costs for our freedom to be able to be here right now and to worship and praise you. So come, Lord, in this moment and in these elements, renew our faith and our commitment to you. And Lord, give us opportunities to sacrifice a little bit of ourselves to those around us. Bless us, Father, and bless everyone as we go different ways and keep everybody safe, especially this holiday weekend. And be with those who couldn't be with us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.